This is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter. And I really think this is an episode that everyone should listen to because it covers the ways we can protect against not only the biggest cause of skin aging, but also how we can protect our skin and our health full stop. So share this one far and wide because you're going to hear some things you might already know, but also quite a few things that you might not, like this.
This is, again, one of the most common misconceptions I have to bust.
We also talk about some current trends and habits.
It terrifies me that this would even be seen as a good idea.
Including something that's been in the news a lot. Have a listen.
I will take those for a week or two before a holiday and then while I'm away, so that I'm giving myself an extra layer of protection, but by no means am I stopping applying my sunscreen while I'm out there.
And I wonder how many of you will guess what she's talking about here. And this one, by the way, was a bit of a surprise for me.
So yes, absolutely apply a good sunscreen when you're...
So stand by for an absolute blast of Dr. Sophie's knowledge, know-how and experience. It's the sunscreen episode. Thank you for listening. So, sun care, skin care in the sun. Can we start with the theme of reapplication? Now, we know that sunscreen has to be reapplied, but so many of us, including me, don't do it unless we're on holiday. Now, I've heard we should reapply every 4 hours, and I always assumed this was every 4 hours from when we apply it, even if we haven't been out in the sun. Then I heard it's every 4 hours from actually being outside in the sun, because one of the ingredients is photosensitive and breaks down with sun exposure. So what is the deal with reapplication?
Yeah, it's such a common mistake that most people make, not reapplying it regularly. It's so, so important if you want to have proper protection. Mm-hmm. Some places list every 4 hours as a guide, but I would say you need to read the label because it will differ from brand to brand and product to product. Mm-hmm. And for some brands, it'll be every 2 hours. And some of them will say, if you're in really intense sun, that should be every hour. Mm. And I don't know about you, but when I'm on a hot holiday, I can definitely feel when my sunscreen effectiveness is wearing off.
Yes. Yeah,
I can feel it within my skin. So when we're thinking about sunscreen, the SPF number that is on the bottle is a guide for how long you're going to be protected from burning based on your skin type. So an SPF 30 means that your skin will take 30 times longer to burn than if you're wearing nothing on it. But of course, that means different things for different people because we all burn differently when exposed to the sun. The paler skin types are going to burn more quickly than a darker skin type. So there is no one blanket rule. And when it comes to reapplication, it isn't about the breakdown of ingredients. It has to do with the sunscreen being washed off our skin by things like sweat or swimming. And it really is important that every time you get out of the water and every time you notice you're a bit sweaty, you should be reapplying your sunscreen. And if you're not swimming, you still need to reapply because you will be sweating even if you can't feel it. It's your body's natural way of keeping itself cooler. One tip, though, that kind of emerged a few years ago, then disappeared again, and now I've seen reemerge, is that you can get these little stickers that you just stick onto your skin and it will monitor when you need to reapply your sunscreen based on the UV exposure it's getting. And I also think, personally, that's really effective for children, because it's so easy to forget about reapplying sunscreen when your child's running around having fun in the sun. Mm. And I think these are a really good visual cue.
That's a great tip. I never knew about those. So what's better? And I think I know where you're going to go with this, but I'm going to ask the clickbait question anyway. What's better, mineral or chemical sunscreen?
Oh, such a loaded question,
isn't it?
They both have their place. I'll start with saying that. But to explain the difference, a mineral sunscreen means it's made up of mineral-based ingredients like zinc or titanium dioxide that reflect or scatter the UV rays as they hit the skin. Mm-hmm. Chemical sunscreens, on the other hand, contain filters that turn the UV energy into heat. So they convert it from one form to another. The big benefit of chemical sunscreens, and they've had a huge amount of, I think, unfair bad press, is that they tend to be lighter and less comedogenic, and you don't need to use as much. And you can also get this variety of finishes, so elegant formulations, which is why when you go and look, for example, at the La Roche-Posay Antilios collection, you've got so many different products within that now. Mineral or physical sunscreens, they've come a really long way as well, because historically they needed to be applied quite thickly, and many formulations left this kind of white film on the surface, which was a particular problem for darker skin types. Mm-hmm. But now there are many that deliver really, again, quite elegant finishes, smoother, silkier, better absorbed, and that don't leave this white cast on the skin. Mm. So I'm going to say neither is better or worse. They're just different. Mm. If you've got a more sensitive skin type, then you're probably going to get on better with a mineral sunscreen. And some brands have sunscreens that contain a mixture of both. It's just one of these things that I think there's been a lot of bad press, and people have talked about, for example, particularly one chemical filter called oxybenzone that had a few news headlines about it, and people worried it's toxic. But to date, we haven't got any proper scientific solid data to back that up. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think the single most important thing is to find a sunscreen that you love and that you're going to wear consistently because you like wearing it.
My third question, and I do know the answer to this, but a lot of people still don't. Why do I need UVA and UVB protection?
So these are the different types of UV radiation within the UV spectrum. So, and sunlight contains both of them. Mm-hmm. So UVA, and there's a good kind of way of remembering this, think of UVA as aging and UVB as burning, but both of them cause skin damage and potentially skin cancers. Now, SPF only refers to UVB protection. So you can have an SPF 50, but it could still have a relatively low amount of UVA protection. Mm. And the difficulty with UVA protection is it really varies how it's marked on the bottles. So whereas I can tell you when you're looking for UVB, look at the SPF. With UVA, it's not that simple to say. So you need to be looking for a sunscreen that's labeled broad spectrum, and that will cover both UVA and UVB.
And is there really a huge difference between factor 30 and factor 50?
SPF 30 blocks around 96.8% of UVB rays, and SPF 50 blocks about 98%. So you might think that doesn't sound like an awful lot of difference, but over years, that added exposure does really add up. So it actually equates to about 50% more UVB exposure over months, years, decades of a lifetime. And we have to bear in mind that we all tend to underapply sunscreen compared with how it's tested in a laboratory. And so I always think it's better to aim slightly higher to give us more bandwidth to safeguard against our underapplication.
And is there such a thing as a safe tan?
There is a different approach to sun protection by a brand called Institute Estherderm. So this is a brand that's really developed a different philosophy around sun care based on the fact that it does enable you to tan whilst also protecting the skin on a cellular level. But as a whole, I would say apart from their sunscreens and wearing them consistently, that a tan is not safe. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember there are some brilliant fake tans on the market as well.
Yes, of course. Yes. And we should do an episode on those too. Does SPF makeup offer enough protection?
Oh, this is, again, one of the most common misconceptions I have to bust. No, nowhere near. So for a few reasons. One, it rarely contains a high enough SPF to protect the skin. It's usually a 15 in there, and anything less than 30 just isn't even worth using. Yeah. And also, makeup usually only has that SPF in it. It doesn't have the UVA coverage. Mm. You'd also have to slap on a really thick layer and regularly through the day to get the same protection as using a dedicated SPF. And when we look at how SPFs are tested in a laboratory, it is with this really quite thick layer compared to how you or I would apply at home. Mm. So in a nutshell, don't rely on it. If your foundation has some form of sunscreen in it, look at it as a bonus rather than as your mainstay. Yeah. And I kind of feel I have to touch on this horrendous TikTok hack I've commented on before. where people use SPF to create contouring on their face, so allowing their face to tan in some areas and staying pale in others. And it terrifies me that this would even be seen as a good idea. So please, I hope it goes without saying, don't follow TikTok hacks like that.
No, you will so regret it when you're older, because I'm imagining it's lots of younger people doing this. Now, this is where it gets a little bit more complicated. What about skincare with a built-in SPF?
If it says it's got SPF in it, it will have been tested in exactly the same way as a traditional sunblock, which is a positive. But back to what I've just said about foundation, most of these products have an SPF in it, which covers you against UVB rather than a broad spectrum, which has the UVA protection in there as well. And the UVA radiation is the one that's associated with most aging and also most skin cancers. Mm-hmm. These formulations are also far less likely to be sweat resistant, water resistant, or rub resistant, like a dedicated sunscreen. We also have to remember that some active ingredients, which are often incorporated in skincare products like acids and retinoids, they don't work well alongside UV filters. And some manufacturers actually have to lower the levels of their active ingredients in order to get the levels of UV filters in that they need. Again, reapplication. Are you going to reapply your expensive day cream with its sunscreen in it regularly throughout the day? And again, most people think, oh, a little goes a long way. And so they don't apply this thick layer of that expensive face cream. They're not putting enough on. And we have to remember that the protection really is only there if you're applying the correct amount. And that's about between a half and a full teaspoon for your face and neck. So while it might sound convenient, it's not ideal. And I would recommend using a dedicated SPF. You can get dedicated SPF that also have moisturising properties. And that is a better way round to do it.
Yes.
And think about having a serum that's got its actives in it. If you have a dry skin type and you need a dedicated moisturiser, apply that and let it sink in for about 20 minutes and then apply your dedicated sunscreen.
Okay, serum, moisturizer, everything sinks in, then your sunscreen. How effective is water-resistant sunscreen? Sun cream or screen?
Again, it's that whole thing of if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It's limited, no matter what the marketing blurb on the bottle says. I would always advocate reapplying your sunscreen after you've been in the water.
Okay. We've covered this next question in other episodes, but in case this is a first-time listener, I'm going to ask this anyway. Do sunscreens block pores?
Once upon a time, yes, which is where this myth came from. But nowadays, we've got so many elegant formulations of sunscreen that provide you with good protection without giving that comedogenic effect. Try a mineral sunscreen, which has got zinc or titanium dioxide, and if you're struggling with breakouts, whatever you do, don't just stop wearing sunscreen. Shop around, find the right one for you. I'm happy to give some recommendations as ever. And remember that the single most important thing you can do for your skin is to protect it from the sun. There's good things about the sun as well, but UV exposure is not one of them.
Yes. Yeah. Really, really good for us to keep hammering home that message. So how would I wear makeup and sunscreen?
This is often a really tricky one because of what we've talked about with reapplication. So sunscreen should be the last step of your routine before you apply makeup. So skincare, sunscreen, makeup. If you put moisturizer on top of that, it can dilute the effectiveness of the SPF or even potentially rub it off. So the best way to do things is to apply this dedicated sunscreen and let it fully sink into the skin before you apply makeup. The issue, of course, is when you need to apply it through the day, because does that mean you need to take everything off, including your makeup, to put foundation on? This is where there are some solutions that I think are really good. So there's a brilliant compact by a brand called Skin Better Science called the Tone Smart. And you can also get really good sunscreen powders like the one by Colour Science. And those are my preferred ways if I've got a full face of makeup on to top up through the day. There are also some SPF sprays. So, for example, Kate Somerville has a really lovely SPF 50 setting spray, but it doesn't have UVA protection. And I know that some people mix a powder with an SPF, so a powder sunscreen with a mineral-based makeup powder, if that makes sense. But that is going to offer relatively limited protection, and you need quite a large amount of it that can create this cakey look. So I think just think about how you're going to stay protected. And it might be that a combination of methods is important, and not forgetting a good hat and sunglasses.
Yes, of course. This next one is a very interesting one, actually. In recent years, some sun creams have also begun adding antioxidants such as vitamin C and E to neutralize all those free radicals and protect against UVA radiation. There's also now a trend and possibly some data around taking antioxidants orally. What are your thoughts on this, and where is the latest data landing?
It's a really good question. Start with antioxidants being added into sunscreens. And while this sounds promising, studies have generally shown they only have modest protective effects. I'm a big fan of layering vitamin C in a serum form with a sunscreen, but putting everything into the same sunscreen, we're not talking about it being this panacea. There are some interesting studies on the benefits of oral antioxidants, but nothing that, to my mind, warrants ditching sun creams altogether. And I will add, there is a biohacker with a large following whose post I saw on social media who says he never wears sunscreen and takes high doses of an antioxidant called astaxanthin and then injects something called melanotan. And for me, the promotion of it, especially given that we're talking about quite limited data at the moment, and melanotan being something that we have no data on, and many skin professionals and dermatologists have expressed concerns about it, I think it's really irresponsible. But having said that, there is some interesting data behind astaxanthin. Astaxanthin is this reddish coloured pigment that we find in various fish and algae. So it's what gives salmon its pink colour, for example. It's said to have many health benefits to do with heart health, skin health, endurance, joint pain. And there's even research into it for future cancer therapeutics. And there are some early stage studies that have shown that astaxanthin can also offer protection against, so the acute effects of sunlight, so sunburn, pigmentation, photo aging, and even potentially skin cancer. So I do think personally there is potential benefit in taking oral antioxidants if you are going to be in intense sun or you're in the sun a lot, but only do it to amplify what your sunscreen is doing. The thing that I've done in the past has been I've taken HelioCare, which is one of my favourite sun care brands, have these, they're called the 360 capsules, which are an antioxidant capsule, which have protective effects from UVA rays. I will take those for a week or two before a holiday and then while I'm away, so that I'm giving myself an extra layer of protection, but by no means am I stopping applying my sunscreen while I'm out there. So it's an area that we need to research a lot more.
Yeah, great answer. Thank you so much. If I'm wearing an SPF, am I not removing all the positive impacts of sunlight, like vitamin D? Or even some people say it's removing the mental health benefits. So, for example, people might say it helps mitigate SAD, seasonal affective disorder.
I don't know how much harder I can hammer this home. There are no positive effects of UV rays on the skin, unless someone has psoriasis or another skin disease that improves with UV therapy, and that would be pure UVB phototherapy. So it's a very specific type of UV treatment. Vitamin D, our bodies do make vitamin D in response to sun exposure, but in the UK, the UVB radiation is only strong enough between about May and September. And you're only going to generate enough if you're out in the sun a lot in that time, and your supplies will be diminished a month after that exposure has stopped. So we need to remember that we can eat vitamin D and we can take it as a supplement. And especially in countries like the UK and those with similar climates, it should be taken in that form. And seasonal affective disorder doesn't need UV rays. It needs broad spectrum light, visible sunlight. You can use light boxes, or there's potentially some data around light exposure at the very beginning of your day having a positive impact. But that doesn't mean that your skin shouldn't be protected when you do that.
Great. Thank you. Can you explain the PA plus ratings on sunscreens?
Yeah, good question. So the PA rating is a Japanese system, and this is about the UVA protection. And this is what I hinted at earlier, that, you know, with UVB, we have SPF, and it's relatively easy for us all to understand because it's a global system. Mm. But all over the world, we have different ways of rating UVA protection. So PA is Japanese, and the US equivalent is PPD. And the PA system, rather than scoring it out of stars, which you'll have seen on some packages, gives it one of four ratings. So a plus plus, plus plus plus, or plus 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 plus. And of course, the one with the four pluses offers the most UVA protection. But there is disagreement about how reliable that system is, which is why it isn't used in sunscreens made in the UK or Europe.
Okay. So we're still looking for that broad spectrum phrase.
Exactly.
To know that you've got UVA and the UVB.
Exactly.
This one's interesting. I read that we're exposed to much more intense sunlight when we fly. So should we wear SPF on a plane?
Yes, absolutely. It's something a lot of people don't think about, because when you are at altitude and above the cloud, you are closer to the sun, and it's an intense UV radiation. Mm. Now, officially, plane windows are meant to have some UV filters built into them, but there's also how reliable they are, how regularly that's checked and maintained. Mm. I don't think personally they do the best job at filtering out UV, so you are still exposed. So yes, absolutely apply a good sunscreen when you're flying. For me, I always like to have the window seat for a couple of reasons. One, it means that no one's going to bump into me when they try and get up to go to the toilet. Mm. But B, I have control over that shade.
Yes.
And it means I can keep the shade closed. I always think back to when it comes to flying and skin, a really interesting statistic is that planes are drier than the Sahara Desert. So the Sahara has an average of 25% humidity, and a plane comes in at 20%. So making sure you're drinking plenty of water, wearing a hydrating moisturizer, and layering that with a sunscreen. And again, this also comes in with driving, because UV does penetrate through glass. So even though we're not driving usually at altitude, don't forget. And also while you're just indoors in a room with windows.
All of these things that we just don't think about. Another question that I'm thinking a lot of people won't think about, and I hadn't before I was doing a little bit of research, sun cream and the environment. Is it bad for the environment?
Not universally, but yes, some can be. And it's largely to do with damage to coral reefs. And this is something, as a diver, I'm particularly passionate about. But it really is only a handful of chemical filters. So it's octinoxate, oxybenzone, and octicrylene, which can cause problems. And some sunscreens can also contain parabens and microplastics. We know that the world's coral reefs are under threat, and it's been suggested that even 90% of reefs could disappear by 2050. So we definitely need to think about how we're protecting these amazing ecosystems. It's the most incredible experience when you're privileged enough to be down there. So look for sunscreens that are labelled as reef safe. But again, this term isn't regulated. So the best thing to do is to know how to read an ingredients label and check for those chemical filters on the label.
Yeah, and I'm going to add a link into the show notes so people can check exactly what to look out for. So is there anything we can do to reverse sun damage?
So the signs of sun damage that we see on the skin are things like brown spots, fine lines, pigment changes, and also possibly elastosis of the skin. And in the most damaging cases, of course, skin cancer. So first of all, if you've got a mole that's grown, changed shape, or started to itch or bleed, or even a new skin lesion that doesn't look like a mole, but you've got a dry red crusty patch that's itchy or bleeding. All of these things should be checked by a doctor or a dermatologist. And sometimes the only definitive way of getting an answer is to have a biopsy. When it comes on to other signs of damage, we can improve them with skincare and with treatments. Fine lines we can improve, for example, with muscle relaxing injections or with facial fillers. Pigment can be lightened by using the right topical skincare, be that with prescription ingredients or cysteamin or things like kojic acid. Peels or lasers can help to even out skin tone and brighten the complexion. And then devices like Softwave or injectables like Harmonica can really help to improve skin laxity. There are things we can do to address the signs of aging if you already have them as a result of your sun exposure.
Okay. So on products, on actual sun creams, I'm going to ping a few links in the show notes with some good roundups from various online articles on some of the best products. I do want to mention the legendary La Roche-Posay and Thelios formula, which you've mentioned, which is multi-award winning, recommended by countless dermatologists, and apparently also protects skin from UVA, UVB and ultra long UVA rays. I use this and I really like it. So I think we're going to just mention that cream alone. I know we have lots of listeners in America, so for sensitive skins, I've also heard good things about Elta MD UV Clear, which also has niacinamide to reduce irritation. What do you use and what do you recommend?
I've got a few that I love. The one that at the moment I'm just not living without is the Intradermology Synergy 6. It's so lightweight. It goes beyond being a sunscreen. It's one of those sunscreens that also has skincare properties. And I am in love with this one. As a mineral sunscreen, the Revision IntelliShade True Physical is brilliant. The whole HelioCare range, I think, is excellent. Really good products in a variety of finishes. And they're gel oil-free. I've never yet known someone who suffers with acne to not get on with it. And the Institute Estherderm range, I also think, are brilliant. They have different sunscreens for different concerns. But whatever you do, make sure that you are checking it's not just a high SPF, but also about having that broad spectrum so you get both the UVB and the UVA coverage.
Any last hacks or tips for us?
Thinking about how you apply sunscreen is important. So making sure you get the eyelids and the back of the neck and that you get the tops of the ears and the tips of your nose. All of these are common areas that are missed. But no matter how well you apply, you're not going to be able to put it onto your eyes. So looking for polarized sunglasses will help give extra protection for the macula and the retina, these sensitive structures in the eyes. If you take any medications that are potentially toxic, which make you more sensitive, like some antibiotics like doxycycline, some laxatives, diuretics, and chemotherapy, then speak to them about the appropriate sun cream to use. Another big one is UV protective clothing. This can be really good for young children. And I am actually really happy when I'm on holiday. I see so many more children covered up than ever before. But remembering that normal clothing still lets UV radiation through it. So if you really want protection, it's got to be these UV protective fabrics. I personally wear these, particularly if I'm going to be going snorkeling, because I find because I'm in the water, I really lose awareness of how that exposed bit of me is feeling. And I find it really helpful. When you're applying, in addition to thinking about not missing those areas it's easy to miss, make sure you apply an even layer. Don't rub it in too much. They'll absorb. They don't need to be vigorously rubbed in. And if you're leaving it in your car, in the glove box or in the sun, be aware it can lose its effectiveness. So keep it in the shade or wrapped up in a towel. And again, expiry dates. So if they've got an expiry date on, that's an absolute. But many of the sunscreens will also have a little symbol on the back that tells you how long they're effective for after being opened. And you should listen to that because otherwise they may lose their effectiveness.
These are such great reminders. Is there a final thought for us to end on?
Oh God, I guess if we have to have one, unless you need a torch to see outside, you should have a sunscreen on every single day. It's so important to remember because these effects really can build up over time. And so whilst the sunscreen message is getting more publicity, so many people think they're not vigilant enough about it. And that could explain why the rate of skin cancers are still rising. So yeah, unless you need a torch to see outside, wear sunscreen.
And on that note, do you know the song by Baz Luhrmann, Wear Sunscreen?
That's brilliant.
I'm going to link into that because it's kind of about sunscreen, but it kind of isn't. So if you've never heard that track, I used to work in radio and I played it once. I had so many people call in saying, what is that song? And when you hear it, you'll know why. And if you know the song, you'll also know why. So anyway, thank you so much. This has been what I think one of our most important episodes because there is so much misinformation out there. There are so many people now jumping onto Insta, onto TikTok, giving misinformation. And the rates of skin cancer are actually still rising. So thank you so much, Sophie.
Thank you, Fee.
And that ends our podcast. If you want to explore more of what we talked about, simply head to the show notes. We've done all of the research and noting down of names, ideas, any studies we mentioned, so you don't have to go digging. To be ahead of the latest episode, press follow on Apple Podcasts. That's the little cross on the top right. Or simply hit follow on Spotify or whichever podcast app you use. Also, do follow Sophie on Instagram and TikTok. There's loads of great content and little explainers on there. Search for Dr. Sophie Schotter. Finally, if you're close to London or Kent, you can book a consultation with Sophie and find out more about who she is and the range of treatments and services she offers via drsophieschotter.com. And by the way, there's some great blog content on the website too. My name's Fiona Mattesini. On behalf of myself and Sophie, please do take a moment to rate and review the show. It all helps. And of course, thanks for listening.